This is an RNIB Connect radio podcast.
The King was in Parliament delivering his speech, looking at government plans for the coming months and years ahead. But what was RNIB's response to some of the announcements? Joining us now, we have with us Rhys Felton. Were there many things for Blind and Partially Sighted people to look out for, and indeed for RNIB to look out for?
Yes, it's certainly an interesting time to be involved in campaigns and politics at the minute, and things can certainly change very quickly. 35 bills, which the government says are intended to demonstrate a shift towards more urgent delivery of change. Now, there's plenty in there for blind and partially sighted people as well. So, thinking around things like SEND reform, changes relating to transport, public infrastructure, and an overhaul of the NHS. So these were things that were all either sort of carried over from the last parliament or had been trailed in the press for quite a while now. So there wasn't a huge amount of surprise, but plenty for us to dig into.
There are some pretty big ticket items here, and I'm sure RNIB are pleased about those ones.
Focusing on SEND, for example, we know there's going to be a greater focus on inclusive mainstream education, which is something that we've been banging the drum for many years now. And that's obviously potentially very significant for children with vision impairment. But we do know equally that's only the case if schools are then properly funded and resourced with the resources they need. So specialist teachers of vision impairment, habilitation specialists, specialist teaching assistants there. But I would say that direction of travel from the government on the SEND reforms has been broadly positive. And I would say they've learned the lessons of how they conducted tried to conduct the welfare reforms last year. So there's been a lot more consultation and conversation. I hope that continues.
Thinking about obviously the cost implication there as well for more investment in special education is because, education, it's the building blocks for people as well. And if you're blind or partially sighted for children, it's crucially important at that stage they get all the support they need.
Absolutely. And there's some really interesting proposals in this bill. They called it the Education for All bill. So there's things in there like individual support plans for every child with SEND, establishing a set of national inclusion standards, which is really good. And as you mentioned, there's sort of the transitional protections as well to stop people falling in those gaps and losing support in between educational settings. So it's vitally important the department continues to work with the SILOS sector and put those lived experiences at the heart of any reforms.
And travel being a big one as well. We've talked over the past year about a lot of work RNIB has done in research and working around public transport, such as trains and buses and so on there. So you're thinking about independent travel. I suppose it's not just getting on and off, say, a bus. It's timetables, it's finding bus stops, it's getting information when you're on the bus as well, and taxis and private hire cabs being brought in there as well. Again, it's a very big area, but there could be some significant improvements here.
And there will be legislation, as you say, covering rail reform. So that's to establish Great British Railways, create a passenger watchdog, which will set standards and hopefully drive up improvements on things like passenger assist. There's also going to be legislation on taxis and private hire vehicles. So the specific mention in the King's speech around improving accessibility for disabled passengers. So that'll be particularly interesting for those with guide dogs. We know there's still too often refusals there. And there's also legislation in this King's speech that aims to speed up delivery of infrastructure projects and improve the accessibility of civil aviation as well. So it's really wide ranging. And we know that getting around and issues with accessibility in public transport are some of the biggest barriers to independence for blind and partially sighted people. And that taps into all sorts of things in terms of being able to get to your doctor's appointment, being able to travel to work, or being able to go out and see your friends.
You mentioned doctor's appointments there, Rhys. Obviously, health is a big thing. We talked a lot about the 10-year NHS plan, the iCare pathway. We've talked even a lot about technology and digitalisation being a bigger part of the NHS going forward as well. So I suppose a point that I kind of would worry about in that is accessible technology. You know, if you're going to use apps, if you'd be able to check things remotely yourself, it's all about accessibility there, not just, I suppose, access to specialists as well, but, you know, tech played a bigger part in the NHS as the days go on.
Yes, that does seem to be the direction of travel. I mean, we've heard since the government announced its 10-year health plan last year that there was going to be this shift from analog to digital. And that's partly what this new NHS modernisation bill will be all about, with the idea of having a single patient record that transfers between different services, including increased use of digital tools like the NHS app, which, of course, we at R&B are still doing a lot of work behind the scenes directly with the NHS to make sure that accessibility is embedded in that design from the outset rather than being tacked on, because we know how important it will be for those blind, partially sighted people who are digitally literate to be able to use the app, and then also to have those alternatives available for those who prefer a more in-person service.
So something which kind of interested me, Rhys, I don't know if you caught this as well. There was a lot of talk at the moment, obviously, about ID, you know, people having ID cards and being registered and so on. But I think we're talking about voluntary ID cards, so looking at that. And for me, that there's a kind of good point in there, because sometimes if you are, you know, someone who is blind or partially sighted, being asked for the correct ID, you know, can be difficult. A lot of blind people don't have passports, you know, they won't have driver's licenses, which, you know, even for, you know, if I want to fly from Scotland to England, I have to use my passport. I don't have a driver's license, but there's no other way for me to do that. So there could be some benefits in there, do you think?
They called it the Digital Access to Services Bill, which, as you say, will be a free and voluntary digital ID. And I guess, yeah, this comes in the context of last year publicly announcing that they go for a digital ID system that would be mandatory. There was a huge amount of public backlash to that, so they brought it back as a voluntary option as a way to access public services and the gov.uk app. As you say, you know, this could be really a game changer in terms of enabling people to have that access, reliable access to a form of ID that isn't always readily available to people with sight loss. We know things like photo capture, facial biometrics can often exclude people with sight loss. And so, yeah, we see this as a real opportunity, but it must, again, with all these things, be co-designed with blind and partially sighted people.
Anything in there which you would have hoped to have seen?
In many ways, with these big speeches, you'll find that what's not included is just as telling as what is. Now, on this occasion, there were certain omissions, so there was no update specifically on the equality brackets, race and disability brackets bill, and that would require employers to report on disability pay gaps. Now, that's not to say that the government has abandoned the policy, but perhaps it could just be that it requires a bit more development with civil servants before they take that forward to Parliament. So we'll be watching that closely. And of course, crucially, there was no mention, or substantive mention, of adult social care in this King's speech. So we know, of course, that Baroness Casey is leading the independent review on adult social care. That's ongoing. But, you know, we continue to urge the government to take more urgent action on vision rehabilitation services to ensure that everyone can get that timely access to the support that they need.
The announcement's been made. We've talked about some of the big ticket items here. What's next then for R&IB as some of these bills go through Parliament over the coming months?
So as ever, our focus will be on making sure that accessibility and inclusion are built into these reforms from the beginning. That means working closely with ministers, MPs, officials to strengthen the detail of those bills. So across all those areas, transport, education, digital services, and crucially, obviously, we'll be making sure that blind and partially sighted people's experiences are at the centre of those conversations, because ultimately the policy only really works when it reflects people's real lives.
No doubt more to come on this, Rhys, but thanks for bringing us up to date so quickly on that response, and thanks for chatting with us on R&IB Connect Radio.